News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. And by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
And we're starting hour two of the El Paso History Show with an El Paso History Moment, like we often do, usually. Produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. And our topic today is about how El Paso Christians and Jews have been working together for more than a century.
Peace on earth and goodwill to all. El Paso has always been a unique, binational, multicultural, and multi-faith community since its early days. The stories of good-natured El Pasoans helping others in need, regardless of their color or religious faith, are many. Here are two of those stories. In 1899, the Jewish communities held services for Temple Mount Sinai, initially in Chopin Hall and the Presbyterian Church. But the small congregation needed a permanent home, but did not have enough money to build their new temple. Local Christian churches went to work to help raise $1,600 toward the cost for the new temple. Haman Krupp, a Jewish businessman who came to El Paso in the late 1800s, made his fortune in dry goods and oil. Haman felt it was important to give back to one's community. He gave to programs to help all and was remembered for giving free coal to the poor on Christmas for over 40 years. Such support is a testament to the close relations between the Jewish and Christian communities of El Paso.
More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
And you are allied with the history, as always.
Yes, Bernie was playing the piano.
He looks so good playing the piano in his pajamas.
Yeah, and he was wearing his yarmulke. He does have a yarmulke.
He does, so. Okay. It's a Facebook crowd, that History Alliance.
Yeah, it's a great group. Now, they have great information, pictures, stories, and all kinds of different items. And the El Paso History Alliance is the one that has now 60,643 followers.
Wow.
Oh my. And is managed by Max Grossman and his team. And another fantastic Facebook page and partner in all this is Remember in El Paso Win, who now has 33,500 followers and is managed by Barbara Given-Bainey and her great team. And if you have questions about El Paso history, give Bernie Sargent, historian and historic consultant, a call at 915-581-7920, and he'd be glad to talk to you. He loves to talk to people.
And the owner and chief administrator is Barbara Given-Bainey,
yep.
BGB we call her.
BGB.
That's for the Remember in El Paso Win page. And it's a long name, but they've got some great archives in there.
In fact, go ahead.
Well, administrators are Margaret D. Smith, Rick Duncan, Paul Louie, and Jim Carrollton, and moderators are Ken Weiss and Craig Hayes.
Yeah, and she's also featuring our Facebook page live on her feed, too, and they've got 10 people who are listening, so it's really picking up, and it's great that we're all working together.
And the thing is, this program will be archived on these pages, and you can go look at it later. We had so many people last week, after the show was over, go look at this on Facebook, and you can see the whole thing all over again.
Yeah.
Talking today about the International Boundary Water Commission, we've got Gabe Dillon on here, and Mark, you're still there, right?
Yes, I'm still here.
Oh, well, good. I didn't want you to go to sleep. We're gonna take a little bit more time here with the Chamizal, because we have a couple more pictures. There's one about the Salazar confectionery I want you to talk about, Gabe, because you mentioned that was something very unusual in the Chamizal. It's a red brick building.
Yeah, it's a red brick building. That area of South El Paso back in the day was a lot of hovels, you might call them, really poor people who lived there. There was homes with no concrete floors, no plumbing, outhouses, of course. And we had a very famous mayor, Tom Lee, who was the mayor back then, and he decided to do away and improve El Paso by building a lot of tenements that looked exactly like that confectionery. And the owners would rent and improve a little the floor and the bottom and open a store or whatever to make a living. And that's the way a lot of South El Paso looked like at the time.
Why is it
now,
called?
We're talking about South El Paso. We're talking about below 9th Street, and then you have the border highway. So you had 10th, 11th, and 12th Street. that all were part of this Chamizal project.
Why, I
mean, many
why,
of the tenements looked like this.
Why is it labeled Chamizal Building Number 1?
You know, I don't really know.
Okay.
It says Block Number 1.
BLOC. Okay. Okay.
Anyway, but many of, and there's still a lot of buildings that look like that.
Okay, there's one more picture I want to run up. The next picture would be something kind of unusual, and that is what you call the Chamizal Dump. It's up now.
Yes. Yeah, there was a dump there, and it was there for a very long time. And I was one of the engineers that built the American Canal Extension, which goes through there. And when we were building that canal, you can see it. It's alongside the border highway down there. It's covered with fences, so it's really kind of hard to see, but it's there. And we were building through there, and we ran across these drillings with all this trash. And we said, what the heck? And then we realized that back in the day, and for many years, maybe since the 1920s, maybe even earlier, that was the El Paso dump. And in the picture, you can see a tractor down there. So the dump was about maybe 15, maybe 20 feet deep at some places. And in order for us to build a canal through there, we had to go down to solid ground or solid dirt, and the commission removed all that trash, and then we built the canal through there. But it was pretty amazing because that dump extended into Mexico quite a ways, and if you travel their border highway, the road still undulates up and down as you drive to the east or to the west on that road, as it did in the United States on our border highway. And later on, the Texas Department of Transportation did what they call deep dynamic compaction, and they compacted the earth over the dump as best they could, and to minimize that up and down feeling as you would drive on the border highway. And there, you can still feel it as you drive on the highway. It goes up and down there, but not as pronounced as it used to.
Because you're riding on an old dump.
Yeah.
And Melissa has
on the dump. Yeah,
Melissa has a question.
What was interesting, when we pulled out trash out of that dump, we found, of course, old bottles, newspapers that you could still read, like if they were thrown away yesterday, they were just a little bit wet.
Oh wow!
And I remember seeing an article from the American Furniture Company, 1942, about pianos and clothes, and there were some articles about the popular dry goods store, which is pretty interesting in itself, and it was pretty amazing stuff, all hauled out.
Yeah, Cindy Melasio, one of our listeners, she talks about her parents used to go down there and dig for antique bottles.
Oh.
And so they did a lot of that collecting. In fact, they had so many bottles collected that the Chamizal actually showed as a display her mother's bottle collection one time.
Pretty interesting, yeah. And a lot of interesting stuff came out of there. And, you know, I forgot to thank Mark and Melissa for having me on the radio today, so I want to thank you for the opportunity. Anyway, going back to the dump and the El Paso area, El Paso is a crossroads for so many things. We've been visited by so many presidents. There are many communities in the United States where a president has never gone, but we've had several presidents come to the United States, I mean to El Paso area, beginning with Howard Taft. He came here to try to settle the Chamizal dispute around 1910, 1911. So,
yeah. And the last president,
El Paso is wonderful.
The last president to visit Chamizal, I believe, was Barack Obama. He was down there giving a speech. Well, and you know, we're talking basically about the International Boundary Water Commission. Chamizal is one of the major things that you've had to work on in the last, say, 50 years in that organization. But another bunch of things that have gone on have come up. And I want Mark now to take the floor here a bit, because we're going to talk about an engineer whose family, and correct me if I'm wrong or not, Mark, they found his papers and gave them to you. Is that what happened?
That's correct.
Name of the guy was?
His name was Henry P. Corbin.
Corbin. So you found a bunch of papers, and this guy used to work for the International Boundary Water Commission, and you think these are worthy to share with our audience. What do you find?
Well, what happened was his granddaughter contacted the commission. Virginia Durbin, who's listening from Golden, Colorado, she contacted us, and what she did was she sent these journals, six journals, and a book of the Boundary Monument pictures to me. And what I've done is I've scanned in just a couple of the journals so far out of six of them. And one of the first ones, as you can see on there, is from when he began here in 1914, and it's 1915. And it's quite interesting. I'm just going to read some of this, and Gabe will probably talk a little bit also. He was appointed as a consulting engineer, which is like a principal engineer we have today. And he came down here from, as it was, Golden City, Colorado at that time. And he came down here to work, and he was appointed by the president and William Jennings Bryan, the Secretary of State. And so he came down here, and as you can see on the pictures you're showing, some of the other ones, he passed away in 1922, but he had a large history of working down here with the commission. But just before I go into that, I just wanted to say for the Chamizal, was the display that's in there has been taken down, and we will be getting that over at the IBWC headquarters. And also at Socorro Mission, if you go there, you will see a monument on the southwest corner there that was from the early 1910s when the Boundary Commission at that time was putting these monuments in on both sides of the river with both commissions. And you will see that at Socorro Mission, and if you look at their walking tour map, you can actually see that. Where it was at that time frame in early 1910.
That was a boundary right there?
What it was the restoration points that they marked along the river, so when the river migrated, they could figure out where the actual boundary still was based on trigonometry. And this one is like about, it's buried at surface level, and when they were doing the walking tour stuff, I helped them out on this. And you'll see pictures of what it looks like, restoration point number 8 that's down there. But on the front page of the pamphlet, the walking tour, you can actually see it in this picture from the early 1900s before it became buried over time.
Do you know, you were talking about having this information over there. Is there information available that if students or people wanted to come over and research that, can they do it at your office, or do they have to request that?
Since we're not a open library or archives or anything, you'd have to request that. The best thing to do is for people that are interested is to go to the IBWC webpage, and there are a contact list on there for people who you can contact about any information about the commission, or you can also contact the National Records Administration out of Fort Worth, where there's a lot of records of the IBWC there too that were sent there some years ago.
Okay. Great. If I don't get this all up correctly, or if they don't get it from the show, if they could give you a call at the office or call the office?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, you can give me a call. And then also, as I said, on the webpage, there's a public affairs officer. I say contact Lori, and she would be more than happy to help answer questions from that point also.
What's the webpage located? IBWC.gov. Okay.
.gov, yeah. I've got that one.
An International Boundary Water Commission. It goes back to the beginnings of El Paso prior to this being a city. And it was established between Mexico and the United States. The two governments wanted to figure out where the boundary was. And there were some disputes in the old days about where the boundary was, because it was, I believe the treaty said it's going to be the deepest channel in the river. And when the river started moving, that's what created a lot of the problems that you had to fix with the concrete channel.
Yeah, correct. This is Gabe. Yeah, correct. The channel is built. You know, it's kind of funny. The river doesn't take a lot of water, and during the spring and summer, you get some flow back then before Elephant Butte. But now that channel is like really huge, it was done that way so that channel would be guaranteed not to move in any flood. So that's why we have such a
strong channel
through there.
Did that concrete channel actually fill up in that flood we had of 2006? There was a huge one in August. Did that thing fill up?
Yes, it did.
Oh,
Let me tell you why.
Yeah.
The commission is responsible, both sides, for cleaning out that channel every once in a while so that you have what you call hydraulic efficiency through there. But over the years, weeds and tires and a lot of stuff piled up in that channel. And when 2006 came along, the water came within 2 feet of overflowing the levees in that area. So, yeah, it's important to maintain the channel, maintain the whole river, actually. We've done so much stuff to it that it requires a lot of movement. It's not a free-flowing channel for pretty much from Elephant Butte all the way down to the Sierra Blanca Mountains down there by Van Horn. Yeah.
When sure. people think of Rio Grande, they think, wow, that's a grand river. Well, once upon a time it was. And on a given day along in April or May, the snow melt in Colorado would show up all down here at once. And that's why the entire El Paso area downtown in Juarez used to flood 2 to 3 feet deep. And it took a while correct. For people to get upset about that. And that's why the Elephant Butte Dam and the Caballo Dams were created up in New Mexico. And what happened was, as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, but those dams were created when New Mexico, I believe, was still a territory. So they didn't have a whole lot of voice in what happened. It was a federal thing, and now El Paso's got the majority of the water, and now New Mexico's grown up. I think they'd like some of their water back. Is that basically what's going on?
Yeah, the dam was built there to encourage irrigation in the valley of El Paso and Juarez. And it was built around 1911, if I got the correct date. Around that time, New Mexico became a state in 1912.
The dam was finished in 1916. It was operational.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't your IBWC have jurisdiction all the way up there?
No. The jurisdiction gets to just below Caballo Dam at Percha Dam, which is a little irrigation dam just below Caballo Dam. So that's where IBWC right-of-way begins or ends. So
okay.
Up through there.
We got to take another
reclamation operates Elephant Butte and Caballo Dam.
Okay. We're going to take another break here, come back. And, Mark, I don't think you're done talking about this engineer guy.
It's a lot there.
No.
I didn't think so. We'll be back in a moment. Call us if you need to. That number would be
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino, Interim Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
You know where you were when the Golden State Killer was arrested. You're a moderator on the Zodiac Killer subreddit. But now you're in search of a new challenge. Enter Solve, the hit podcast that puts you at the center of the investigation. Solve is like no other murder mystery podcast. You'll track down killers hiding in plain sight.
You all right?
Yeah, it's just disturbing. Have you ever seen anything like this before?
Not like this.
To listen to Solve, download the free iHeartRadio app or listen wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to your business, there's a lot of things you know and a few things you want to learn more about fast. If you're looking for an easy and affordable way to get smarter about what your customers are thinking, you need to check out Research Raccoon. Just tell the Research Raccoons whatever your business question is. Maybe it's about a new menu item for a restaurant. Maybe it's finding out what your audience really thinks about your business name. Maybe you don't even know what questions you're supposed to be asking. Let the Research Raccoons know what's on your mind, and they'll poll potential U.S.-based customers that day, giving you clean data you can use to make smarter business decisions for less than you'd think. No matter the size of your business, Research Raccoon gives you the tools to learn at an affordable price. So discover what your business should be doing and move with confidence with Research Raccoon. Visit ResearchRaccoon.com to learn more and discover which plan is best for you. ResearchRaccoon.com. Fast results with big data.
At home with Robert, retired burglar and family man.
Carolers, that's the holiday spirit. Speaking of which, Simply Safe Home Security is having a huge holiday sale. Right now, you can get 40% off a new system and a free camera at simplysafe.com/holiday. That's 40% off the system U.S. News named the best of 2020. Simply Safe protects your whole home 24/7 with monitoring by professionals. The sale ends soon, so go to simplysafe.com/holiday for 40% off and a free camera today.
Greg Kelly Reports is breaking records on Newsmax TV. President Trump was recently on, and millions tune into Newsmax every night. Greg asks the tough questions you want. Watch Greg Kelly at 7 p.m. Eastern or the rebroadcast. Newsmax is on all major cable systems and free on Roku, Zumo, YouTube, Pluto, and TVs like Samsung and LG. If your cable company doesn't carry Newsmax, call them and say you can switch if they don't carry it. Watch Newsmax today.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got callers coming in here, and also let you know who's coming in here next week on December 19th. The topic is early El Paso artists, and our guest is Hal Marcus. His wife Patricia will join him. And it's an El Paso artist and gallery owner who has a list of El Paso artists from here in El Paso who painted our history onto their canvases. And Hal, along with Patricia, will share their early El Paso Masters Dead Artist exhibit. Only Hal would create something like that in their gallery on Oregon Street. And they've been already sending me some pictures. We're going to have a really interesting view of some of those pictures, what's coming in there. December 26th, David Romo, Max Grossman, and Father Rafael Garcia, they're on to talk about a lot more in the history of Segundo Barrio and why the restoration of the most important buildings there is. It's a watershed event. Hour one, history of Segundo Barrio with Father Garcia and David Romo. Hour two, Sacred Heart Church and its restoration, Father Garcia and Max Grossman. Father Garcia has been trained as an architect before he was a priest, so that's an interesting history there. By then, we'll know more what the cost will be. And January 2nd, your man, you've been working on him, but also he called me.
Yeah.
Sam Dolan and his new book, El Paso, is coming out.
That's going to be interesting.
And that's, you know what the history.
I hope he sends us one. Sam, if you're listening, send us a book so we can get a preview of what to, expect.
His first book he put out in a PDF, he sent that.
Oh, did he get? I didn't get that one.
Way back in the day. His first book, this is the second one.
Oh, okay.
It's spanning a 30-year period from the late 1800s until the 1920s. El Paso, the true story of the desperate men and notorious women that made El Paso, Texas, the Old West's most dangerous town. Supported by official court documents, government records, oral histories, and period newspaper accounts, this book offers a bird's-eye view of the one-time murder metropolis of the Southwest. Goodness gracious. So, all right, you got something to say?
Wanted to tell real quick about the Facebook Live page. We're getting a lot of comments from people. Thank you so much for supporting us. A lot of likes and shares. Emil Valdez, he says they'd had some of the same issues that the IBWC has been dealing with, but the Border Patrol has had a great relationship with them for years. Let's see. We also had...
That was from Chewy Martinez.
Oh, Chewy Martinez. Excuse me, yeah. Chewy. Rick Garvin, in addition to his homes, Bowie High School is on what used to be Mexico when they made the canal go through. They had to, they split the land, and there had been an elementary school there, but they made it now Bowie High School. So that's kind of
high
interesting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of history there. Okay, yeah. We have Mark Howe and Gabe Duran on, and we've also got a caller in here. This would be Bustamante. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh. Yes, sir. What's up?
This is Kiki Bustamante,
Kiki.
And I was just commenting that I'm very familiar with the Boundary Commission, especially on the Mexican side.
Yes.
My dad was working there as a principal engineer. Well, he finished up as a principal engineer, but he was a topographer, and I guess in the late 20s till he was 83 when he retired as a principal engineer. My oldest brother also worked there and was a commissioner in the time. And I remember they were both very active with the Chamizal settlement.
Oh, yeah.
I worked with the Chamizal. I was working for McKee at the time, but I was helping out a fellow man that was doing the estimates for the purchase of the homes in the Chamizal. And I think Crawford Kerr at the time was in charge of the project for the American Boundary Commission. But I helped out with that, and I just wanted to comment that there's a lot of history there. And,
oh, yeah.
And the Bustamantes were quite involved with all that. I remember when they put up the monuments on the border, and it was Johnson at that time that put them up.
Yeah.
But at any rate, just wanted to comment and say hi.
Very good.
And Melissa, my wife used to love the chicken sopa over at Pepe's.
Oh, I know, yeah. I know.
Well, we're going there today, it sounds like, so join us. I'll be there for getting a takeout. But, Kiki, thanks for ringing us up. You
Talk
take care.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
You take care. We got more calls coming in as we speak. We'll get to them in a minute or two. But we have to do another. This is just a thing about radio, Gabe and Mark. We do have to do a lot of breaks here. We've got another one imminent. But if you can, Mark, give us a preview of what you might be getting into, because you've got more of that engineer's notebooks to tell us about. Give us some headlines.
Right. Henry P. Corbin, as I said, his granddaughter gave me these journals. And it's amazing the history of stuff he's talking about. And it's just about coming down here and who the acting commissioner was, where he grew up in North Carolina. But on some of his entries here, back in 1915 to 1917, he's talking about the old riverbed by Fabens and San Elizario.
Mm-hmm.
And then he always went to the First Presbyterian Church and First Baptist Church a lot of times. He went to both of them. And then interesting is 1915, November 15th, Chamizal, but also November 16th, the Liberty Bell arrives in El Paso, and it's met by about 25,000 people.
Wow.
And then they also had a par. He also went to a parade, Army parade, on November 20th, went to Washington Park.
That's right by the Coliseum, oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting, okay.
And so I'll let you go, and I'll talk about some more of this, of the interesting stuff he's talking about in these journals.
Okay.
Saw in the picture of him.
There's a lot of general El Paso history. Also, we're putting up there a Scottish Rite item that he was part of the Scottish Rite in El Paso. That's a picture you had sent me. And there I see him now here, Mr. Corbin, with his big mustache. He looks like he could be a really cool dude. All right, we'll take a break. Oh, let's take one phone call on our way here. Prince, what you got on your mind, Prince? You got a minute?
Oh, yes. It's a good program, and it's nice to hear the voice of Kiki Bustamante also.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to comment that the Railroad Museum in the Darrell Height collection has a series of maps that show the Mexican civil engineers, starting in the 1880s, built stone barricades on the south side of the river near downtown. And the river kept going around them.
Oh.
And so the U.S. civil engineers took their maps, and that was some of the evidence that they gave, that the Boundary Commission gave to President Kennedy for when they examined the problem of the railroad, all of the bridges, the railroad bridges, were all being washed away on the south side, and the bridges had to continue to be extended. But anyway, another comment that I had was about the result of the settlement. The Chamizal settlement was those blocks that your visitor had mentioned that became part of Mexico. I worked for an engineer who was a federal land appraiser, and we examined and measured all of those houses that were bought by the government, and when that land was given to Mexico, and that really changed the demographics of El Paso, because all of those people that lived in those properties were given guaranteed loans to move farther north.
They made pretty good deals with those people.
Their
apparently,
situations changed completely. Many of those houses had plumbing that just drained into holes in the ground. And
yeah.
it was really very bad.
Well, when Mexico took those houses over, did they take them over complete, or was it blown away?
No. The U.S. government bought the land, graded the houses.
Oh.
And the only thing that the Mexican government got that I'm aware of is the big customs building that had been built within just 10 years before the settlement.
Oh, yeah.
And that still stands on the other side of the bridge now.
Okay.
But that land was completely cleared.
That's what I was wondering. Okay. All right, Prince, thank you for joining us. Are you going to join us at Pepe's today?
I'll give it a try.
All right, we may see you out there.
Everybody should join us at Pepe's.
Have a Christmas party.
That's
why
right.
Not?
We can do a tailgate in the parking lot.
Your party got canceled because of COVID, so let's go out there.
A lot of parties got canceled.
Social distancing at Pepe's. Prince, good to
great
talk
program.
To you. Thank you much. You take her easy. And it's an interesting show here today. We're talking about International Boundary Water Commission. It brings up memories of all kinds. We'll get back and talk to folks in a minute here, Gabe Dunan and Mark Howe. And one is a former and one is a current employee, so they know stuff. And one of them is willing to tell stuff and one of them isn't.
We'll get some to has that. Secrets, some don't.
Yes, they do. Back in just a moment. And also, the phone number, why don't you throw that out there?
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
Go back to a simpler time with Moscow Ballet's Great Russian Nutcracker Christmas Stream. Gather the family for the essential Christmas tradition and enjoy a Christmas party from your living room. Peek backstage and into the wings for a never-before-seen look into the show and the artists that make it happen. Get your stream now at MoscowBallet.com. Make it a Christmas party for the family and get your stream now at MoscowBallet.com.
What can give you a competitive edge in today's red-hot housing market? Rocket can. That's because Rocket Mortgage can give you a verified approval. It could help your offer stand out. Because when you find the perfect home, you don't want to lose it to anybody else. Rocket Technology provides a rock-solid verification of your income, assets, and credit, giving sellers and their agents greater confidence in you. We've already helped over 1 million clients just like you reach their home financing goals this year alone. So remember this, what can help you buy the home you really want? Rocket can. Go to rocketmortgage.com or call us today at 8338-ROCKET. That's rocketmortgage.com or call 8338-ROCKET.
A verified approval is based on an underwriter's analysis of your individual financial information, appraisal, and title report. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states and MLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
News Talk 690 AM and Conviva Care Centers want to bring good wishes to our seniors in El Paso. Nominate your favorite senior at KTSMradio.com for your chance to win them a gift card. Make them feel extra good because they really, really deserve it. It can be any senior, like a family member, your uncle, grandmother, a friendly neighbor, or heck, even you. Any senior who could use some cheering up this holiday season. Happy holidays from News Talk 690 AM and Conviva Care Centers.
Carolers, that's the holiday spirit. Speaking of which, Simply Safe Home Security is having a huge holiday sale. Right now you can get 40% off a new system and a free camera at simplysafe.com/holiday. That's 40% off the system U.S. News named the best of 2020. Simply Safe protects your whole home 24/7 with monitoring by professionals. The sale ends soon, so go to simplysafe.com/holiday for 40% off and a free camera today.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Jackson here. I want to thank my son, Andrew J. Polk, in there in the control room. Going, running around crazy, putting feeds out all over the place and doing commercials here and there.
Telling me what to put on here, what not to put on here.
And having a great time and putting up all the pictures. And he is on Monday through Friday on this station.
And he does it alone.
And he does. And Monday through Friday, he is a talk show host on KTSM. Talk El Paso, 4 p.m. to 5. No, you're 4 to 5. I remember that number. 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Okay. Now we're ready for this week. This week only in El Paso, Inc.
The entrepreneurs behind many popular El Paso hotspots have announced two new Crave locations on both sides of the city.
Also in the ink, why the housing market remains hot in El Paso despite the COVID-19 pandemic and shutdown woes.
The Best of El Paso is back, and this year marks the debut of a new mobile app in the magazine with 2020 award winners.
Celebrating its 25th year, El Paso's business journal, El Paso Inc., is available for home or business delivery.
To receive El Paso Inc., order it online at elpasoinc.com.
Tomorrow night on ABC 7 Extra, the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine was approved and on its way to El Paso. But how many El Pasoans need to be vaccinated before we can begin removing our masks and going back to hugging our loved ones? Ah, about that, local infectious disease expert Dr. Alozi says a certain percentage of the population will have to be vaccinated in order for us to begin to return to normal.
You can watch the entire half-hour interview with Dr. Ogachika Alozi as he talks about all things vaccine with ABC 7 Extra host Saul Sines Sunday night at ABC 7.
Saul,
and that's that name, Ogachika.
That's why I didn't pronounce that part. I just did his last name because I know better.
That's a very romantic name.
Oh, my God. We're talking about International Boundary Water Commission, why that's important. And Mark Howe and Gabe Duran are on the phone here. Let me ask Mark, why should people think of International Boundary Water Commission when we think of history in El Paso?
Well, the reason is the commission here before 1944 with the water treaty was known as the International Boundary Commission. And then after 1944 became the International Boundary Water Commission. It has a huge history in this area and along the borderlands. And as you know, a nice building downtown, the Mills building, one of our commissioners was Anson Mills.
Ah.
And he was commissioner up to about 1912. You go to the webpage, ibwc.gov, you look under there about us, you can see this information on the commissioners. And it's like this, the journalist that I'm talking about, Anson Mills actually came to visit after he had retired from the Boundary Commission. And then later on talks about the new Commissioner Hill that came in. But the commission has a huge history here that people don't realize how important it is. And as we were talking about the boundary monuments, when you go down Paisano, down by American Dam, you'll see that white obelisk on the hill. That's International Boundary Monument number 2. And there are so many people that I talk to that have no idea what that is.
Yeah.
Oh, we know Mount Crystal Ray, but we don't know what that is.
Yeah.
And you ask them where the border is, and they say, oh, it's the river. It's like, no, that's New Mexico over there,
wow.
And this is Texas.
Well, from that,
New Mexico's over there.
From that area south, it's the border. But from that area west, it's your line of monuments all the way to California.
Correct. And those are the boundary, is the official boundary of the United States and Mexico, as Gabe had talked about earlier. One thing is I wanted to say was, if I go back into the interesting points of the Corbin journals,
all right,
is just the amount of history he has told about El Paso here. And I'm just going to zip through some of this stuff because he had met with a lot of people from Fort Bliss who came over talking about different areas. Also on here, he talks about a proposed fence on the San Elizario Island, which I'm sure people don't know about, going to church, the boundary line, and working. He was working directly with senators and congressmen and the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Treasury, and his journals talk a lot about having problems with getting money to get paid. In one portion, in 1917, he talks about, I'm still waiting to get paid for 1915.
Oh, my.
And it's just funny. I'm just going to go through some of this stuff, of what he's talking about, the dates I highlighted here, and I'll bring these with me. But December 17, he attended a banquet at Paso del Norte Hotel, and in honor of Elwood Mead. I'm not sure who that is. Somebody else might know who he is. And then we had a consulting engineer before him, and he wrote this nice little blurb about him. December 20th, 1915, received word that Mr. Follett died this morning. W.W. Follett was the consulting engineer who was today's principal engineers before him and did a lot of work on the border, especially during the Mexican Revolution time frame. And he's writing about how he had a lot of complications, and he passed away. And he was also an engineer who was appointed from Colorado, like Corbin was. And that's quite interesting. So in his journals, he's going to 1916, talking about everybody going to church, the Baptist church here in town. And then on January 13, he's saying the feeling is very strong against the people here in El Paso. I'm going to skip that part.
How much material
in the Baptist?
Go ahead. How much material did she give you? I mean, it sounds like the guy's whole work set.
As you saw in the pictures there, I got six journals.
Yeah.
And if she has any more, since she's listening, I'm more than happy to get this because I'm going to write about this for a journal article and then talk to her. But the stuff she sent me is just amazing because it's stuff that you read about in people's dissertations who've written about the different projects. Joanne Kropp wrote about the rectification project and a part of Chamazal and also with canalization for her dissertation and mentioned Corbin in there, but not much else. And now having these records, it will actually expand our knowledge of the early years of the International Boundary Commission, the predecessor of the IBWC.
Hey, Mark.
And yes.
A quick question. You mentioned, was it Elwood Mead that you mentioned the name?
Yes.
That's what Lake Mead outside of Las Vegas and that controls the Colorado River. For all the South down there, it was named after him,
Elwood.
Right, and these things are interesting because he's talking about stuff now. He talks about a Mr. Weber. Mr. Weber was a consul for Germany over in Juarez.
Oh yes,
and I'll talk about that because that
Max.
Is just before World War I starts.
That was Max Weber, right?
Yes.
Okay, stop there for a second. We're going to take another break here. But I know a little bit about Max because Max was into stuff. He really was. And you got some interesting side notes on who this guy was. Taking a break here, coming back in just a moment, picking up more discussion about the International Boundary Water Commission. It's not just your average commission. It's more than that.
Oh, yeah.
How about that for a slogan? Back in a moment.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell properties. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca at 915-592-4549. Call Monterey Asset Management to discuss your personal financial needs at 592-4549.
When questions find you, Merrill Edge Self-Directed Investing has personalized tools and insights to help you find answers. Get started at MerrillEdge.com/withinreach. Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner & Smith Incorporated. Registered broker-dealer, member SIPC.
Find out the best tips and techniques to get your home sold and get the latest in real estate trends this week with your host, Brian Birds, Sunday at 7:30 on El Paso's news radio station, 690 KTSM AM.
You're getting back to business, but how do you know you're making the right decisions? Easy, with Research Raccoon. Research Raccoon helps businesses of all sizes learn more about their customers. Ask a question and Research Raccoon gives you U.S.-based data to help you decide. No defining audiences or waiting weeks. Think of it like a gut check for your big ideas. So talk to Research Raccoon and get data you can use that's affordable for small businesses. Visit researchraccoon.com to learn more.
What are you doing to keep your nose clean? After all, the nose is your body's air filter, the first line of defense against airborne diseases. I'm Martin Hoke and I invented Navage, the powered suction nose cleaner. Navage cleans your nose by flushing out allergens, mucus, dust, and germs, including dangerous infectious germs. So with all the horrible stuff in the air, now's the perfect time to join more than a million Americans who use Navage. It has over 30,000 online reviews averaging 4.7 stars. Why? Because Navage is easy to use. It's inexpensive, all-natural, drug-free, and safe, and most important, it works. Think about it. You wash your hands every day. Maybe it's time to clean your nose, too. Breathe better, sleep deeper, feel and be healthier. Online at Navage.com and at Target, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider and are only available if the provider determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. That's right, free, zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Mark Howe and Gabe Dedine, this is our last segment of the day here. Thank you guys for joining us. And if anybody wants to see what we've done today, it archives automatically on Facebook. Once this show is over, you can start it all over and play it again. And we've got a handful of people, a couple of dozen, watching us live, but we're finding out that people are going back and looking at these archives, and we have in the thousands of people who have viewed these. Like last week, I think I had 3,500 when I last looked, and we had maybe less than 100 when it was live. So we're finding out that's a very interesting thing here. And Mark, what you're bringing up here is the fact that if somebody has stuff that they're inherited, or they have to clean out a home, or they find things in the attic that Grandpa left, don't throw away the box of goodies. You have now possession of something that happened in that kind of fashion. And it was a granddaughter who cleaned out the something of your engineer buddy, and now you've got it, and it's a treasure trove of information. Comment on that for a minute.
Yeah, that's it's just reading the information on here of what was going on. Like in February 14th, they were kicked out of the Southwestern. The International Boundary Commission was kicked out, well, asked to leave. The Southwestern Railway Company asked them to vacate their rooms. And so they moved into the Mills building. So the Mills building was built at that time. And, I mean, this gives you a breakdown of the history of what's going on and then the rooms they occupied and just the people they met. Like, I'm just going to, if you don't mind, I'll just keep going through some of this.
You got about,
of course, we know,
about 2 minutes here.
March 6, 1916, what happened? I believe we had the Columbus Raid. And he didn't say anything in his journal, but the next couple of days he talked about United States soldiers enter Mexico, March 9th.
That was the ninth.
And before the
ninth was the day, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, and then he's talking also about different histories and people. And then a Felix Martinez died this afternoon. Mr. Martinez had been mentioned as commissioner of International Boundary Commission over in Mexico. And then going through, he talks about the weather and actually having rain events. The Weber Bonco.
Well, Max and, Weber. You talked about Max Weber for a second there. What was that reference?
Right. Yes. And I'll go into some stuff on him because it's interesting on the one part that he talks about. And then, of course, Anson Mills, General Mills, is in town. He had a nice visit with him and his family.
General Mills. I've heard of him.
Love his cereal.
Yeah. You wonder who that is. And then, of course, he was a Mason. He talks about getting his 32nd degree, Mason, what he did on that. And then also, Max Weber, on May 24, 1916, called with attorney to look at our maps of the Weber Banco. Also, on June 7th, General Bell and Mayor Lee review of U.S. soldiers from the Fort Bliss, about 3,000 in parade. And then also the next day, talking about the Cordova cutoff and Chamizal, as Gabe was talking about on that. And a lot of times he's talking about how boring sometimes it was with a lot of the just basic paperwork.
Yeah, but well, let me ask you something. What's going to happen to this material? You said you're getting the material from the Chamizal Museum is being moved over to your location. Can people someday, when it's all cool again, come visit that and this material will be there? Or what do you got going on?
Okay, the Chamizal stuff is, as you showed on the clip, their display placards and stuff, it basically talks about the IBWC history.
Right.
Since they're redoing their display, they gave that to us.
Okay.
Now, they asked us if we wanted the soldiers, but we have no room for that. But we're going to get the display panels and hopefully put them in our conference room, as you see in the picture here.
Okay.
It talks about the commission, so when people come to visit our conferences, they can actually get more of a history of us.
Okay. But do you think, will you ever have a museum people can come to?
All we have is just some display cabinets up in front.
Okay.
Because we're not set up for things like that.
Maybe in the future. Okay, we're about out of time here. Any last thoughts from Gabe even? You're still there, Gabe.
Yeah, I still, and I mentioned, I thank Mark, but of course that's appropriate. But I also want to thank you, of course, for having me on radio today.
Well, I thought it'd be a good idea. You guys have been on here before. You're both very good storytellers. Mark goes for the details and you go for the heart. You talk about the people of Chamizal and the details as well. No, we appreciate what you guys have done today. It's an interesting discussion about the International Boundary Water Commission. And just real quick, go back backwards and who are the commissioners? Who is your current commissioner?
Our current commissioner is Jane Harkins.
And before that?
Ed Dracena.
Before that?
And that's when I came.
Okay.
I came to the commission under his deed.
And you had Carlos Ramirez in there somewhere?
Yes, he was there. Uh-huh. Carlos Ramirez, Carlos Marin, going back to Anson Mills, and George Curry, who was territorial governor of New Mexico.
And Joe Friedkin. I remember Joe Friedkin. He was
Joe
in there.
Joe Friedkin, of course. You know, right. He was an angel of a man. He was.
Oh, yeah.
I got a chance to meet him. In fact, my stories come from a lot of these old guys that I talked to.
Oh, good.
Dave Stroud was one of the engineers.
Well,
I talked to him. He told me about some of his adventures.
The point is, guys, it's a great part of
you
El Paso.
My advice is talk to all these old folks because they have a ton of information.
They
especially
do.
Especially your family, where you came from.
We're out of
here.
Gabe, thank you for joining us. We're out of here for today. Mark Howe, thank you both. If you can be at Pepe's, we'll see you out there. In the meantime, thanks for being.
I'll bring you. I'm going to be there, and I'll be there with the papers I have.
Oh, cool.
Fair enough.
So get
everybody
listeners
else,
join us.
We'll see you next week, Melinda. Right back here with Hal Marcus and artwork you won't believe. See you then. Thanks a lot. Andrew, thanks a lot. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Monterey Asset Management, Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.